the effort to socially distance in New York in response to the spread of the novel coronavirus has highlighted the importance of good internet connections as New Yorkers try to live, work, and learn from their home. But access to an affordable, high-quality internet connection varies wildly across the state, and this puts New York's children at an uneven playing field, with schools still trying to rely so heavily on remote learning. To rectify the situation, state lawmakers have proposed a new fee on telecommunications companies working in the state and plan on using those revenues to fund internet connections where needed. To discuss the idea, we're joined by its Senate sponsor, Westchester County Democrat Shelley Mayer, who is chair of the State Senate Education Committee. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
So in your bill, there's a bit of a narrative about Article 11 of the state constitution and what it has to say about providing an education. Can you explain how that language in the state constitution is sort of the impetus for this proposal?
Well, first, let me just say in context that we have a national problem with a lack of broadband access across the country as schools move to either remote or hybrid. And the fact is almost every child has now been in a circumstance where they are required to learn at home through broadband or internet as well as a device. That's sort of a given in the COVID world. The state of New York has a provision in its state constitution that the state has an obligation to provide free common schools to educate every child. So the point of this bill from a constitutional perspective is the state simply cannot meet its obligation to do this if children are learning at home without access to quality broadband or internet. It used to be that you needed a pencil and a paper and a blackboard, and the state or the government provided that, and you went to school. Those were essential components of getting a free common school education. Now, you simply can't get these components without broadband or internet. So it is tied to that premise. And it is also because there are issues of preemption over these telecommunications companies, it is very much tied to a New York approach and a New York constitutional mandate, which we think makes it a very sustainable bill.
Can you explain how the revenue raised by this bill would be used to expand access? Are we talking about basically paying for the expansion of broadband, or are there other ways that you guys are looking to potentially expand access?
Well, here's how I would describe it. There is a pool of money that is created, an eLearn fund, by an assessment on the New York-based revenues of these companies. And might I say, these companies have done quite well during this COVID time. You know, all of us who are legislators represent districts in incredible distress and suffering all around. I'm sitting in an orange zone now, right now, where businesses are closed and people are on food lines. During this time, these companies, most of which are publicly traded, have done quite well. So this assessment based on their New York-based portion of their revenues would go into a fund, and yes, through that fund, they would basically be required to provide quality broadband to every child who does not have it, every child, not every household, every child in school from the age of 5 to 21, and every school building in the state of New York, because teachers are required to use internet and broadband while teaching in schools. So that would be money taken out of the fund, and they would be required and basically get some kind of money towards it out of the fund to provide this service. The second part of the bill is that for those who currently have broadband or have paid for it in order for their children to be educated would get a modest credit on their bill representing the portion that the state determines is attributable to providing this service to every child. You know, there's been a perception, and I think there's some truth to it, that because we haven't built out broadband, it doesn't exist everywhere. In our research on the bill, we found there's a range of technologies that basically allow quality internet service or broadband to be provided statewide, one way or another, that the technology exists. So we're not talking about wiring parts of the North Country. We're talking about ensuring that whether you live in the Bronx, whether you live in, Yonkers, whether you live in Albany, or whether you live in the North Country, there is a way to provide some amount of quality broadband throughout the state. And these companies have to work with us to getting that out the door.
If enacted, this law would sunset whenever the current public health state of emergency in New York comes to an end, which presumably will happen in conjunction with the, you know, vast distribution of a COVID-19 vaccine targeted for next year. Is that a long enough window to dramatically expand access to high-speed internet? I mean, do you feel like there's elements of this bill that can be implemented quickly enough to make a difference for kids doing remote learning?
We believe it can be implemented quite quickly, and we put short times in there for the processes that are necessary in order to implement it. That being said, no, in the end of the day, this is a national problem that requires a long-term solution. Because ultimately, whether it's this pandemic or the next problem, if children are going to be forced to be at home or in other settings and required to have education there, we're going to have a system of universal broadband, much as we have universal, you know, we have electricity and water. It is a true utility. But given the fact that we have this preemption problem and we have a very strong, compelling argument that New York absolutely needs this, we based it on the current COVID emergency. Would I like to see a stronger bill, a bill that lasts forever? Yes. And then I'm hopeful that President-elect Biden and the next Congress moves in that direction. But this is a solution, Dave, to a problem that is out there that we just cannot sit on the sidelines and wait for it to be fixed. The companies have not fixed it. They have not voluntarily done so. I'm confident that they will recognize this is their obligation to help us educate kids, and they will join in this effort.
The language in the state constitution regarding a free common school doesn't have any sort of exceptions for kids who are from families of wealth or high means or anything like that. So will you make the credit that you talked about open to children from all families?
Yes, it is. There's no income screens in this plan at all. The idea is everyone should get it, level playing field. You know, if I'm making $50,000, but I elect to pay for it because I want to make sure my kid has it, and next door is someone who's making $45,000 who can't afford it but would love to, that's not a fair way to distinguish children. We should have universal access. And this bill gets us to that point. Every child gets it and gets it as quickly as it can be implemented. And again, we're going to need the companies to work with us in good faith to get this over the finish line, presuming we can get it passed and signed and get all parties on board. And I am very confident they will recognize this is really their obligation to do so during this time period.
I'm curious, have you heard from any of the telecommunications companies that operate in New York about this bill yet?
Well, several of them I met with prior to introduction of the bill when they heard I was working on this subject. And, you know, many of them have discount products that they're selling to school districts, and school districts have worked with them absolutely out of necessity to buy some of these discounted products, some of which I think are probably very good. But it's a one-off. You know, one district has enough money to buy it and it's at a reduced rate. Other districts, because of some federal requirements, some companies are required to provide it for free in some cases. It's really a mishmash of products and prices. So yes, I've heard from some, but I haven't heard the kind of widespread opposition that I think people anticipated. We're in a crisis, a real crisis out here in the world of real people and children in school and parents trying to do this. We have kids learning on phones, doing complicated work, sharing their phones with their brothers and sisters. That, you know, we have an obligation to educate these kids, even in this time, and we can't walk away from it. So I say to people, yes, there may be complications. It's a complicated bill. We'll work with anybody. Our door is always open. But let's get on board with this concept and a solution to the concept and the problem. And then, you know, we'll work along the way. But right now, we need a solution to the problem, that we have to be single-minded and focused on that.
Regardless of how profitable operations are in New York for telecommunications companies, if you increase the cost of their ability to do business in New York with this fee, is there any reason to assume they won't pass this bill along to existing customers in the shape of higher internet bills?
There's language in the bill to prevent them from doing that, prohibits it.
And is that, I guess, constitutional or something that we can ensure?
We believe that would be upheld in a court. We did review that carefully before we put that in there.
Has this situation and New York's larger issues with regards to internet access made you think differently or reinforced the way you might think about the need for public utilities that provide internet service in New York, as opposed to relying on private businesses to make sure that everyone in New York has access to high quality, affordable internet service?
I'm always open to effectively state-run enterprises to provide basic services, because I think we've seen through the pandemic that those at the very top, while they've had inconvenience or certainly health issues, the degree of struggle and suffering is nothing like those sort of on the lower end of the income scale. So I think it makes a lot of sense to make it a public entity. Ultimately, I'd love to be involved in that. But right now, as the chair of education committee, I'm worried about that kid doing homework on her phone.
Well, we've been speaking with Westchester County Democrat Shelley Mayer. She's the chair of the state Senate Education Committee. Senator, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Very much appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.